Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries, and this is number 17 of our series, Sheridan on Romans. By the way, our website is crossandthrone.com. We also have another URL address, it's paulsevangel.com. They go to the same place, but we thought we'd get both and maybe one day migrate to just being Paul's Evangel, but for now, this is what we are. We are in Romans chapter 3, and by the way, we are getting out of the depression passages. Romans 1, 2, and 3 is, again, as we mentioned many times, is Paul is showing the background of human sin and God's indignation against it, so he can then come out with the great grace of God as it's revealed in Romans 3:21. And so we need this. It's important. And I trust that these studies have not been tedious. I think one of the greatest enemies to revealed truth is using the truth partially. In other words, I think a lot of problems we have today in Christendom are folks who don't really read the scriptures and they don't pay attention. They just pick out verses hither and yon. But it's important that we read through every book that God has given us, especially Paul's letters, and almost systematically, because Paul didn't just write a treatise on justification or a treatise on indignation. He gave everything in a flowing manner in these letters, and it's good for us to follow. Over in Romans chapter 3, and we pointed out last time in verse 12 how it says, all avoid him, at the same time they were useless, going back to Genesis 3. Not one is doing kindness, there is not even one. The word kindness in the Greek language has to do with useful. We're useless, it says here. Since we are useless, we can't do anything useful. There is not even one. And he's really going after human self-righteousness here. By the way, there's an interesting phrase, and I'm going to lean over here and grab my concordant Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 8, there's an interesting phrase here that I want to read to you. In Genesis 8:21, and this is referring to Noah when he walked off the ark after the flood, and it says this, Noah gets off the ark and he offers sacrifices to Yahweh, and it says this, 8:21, Yahweh Elohim smelled a fragrant smell, and Yahweh Elohim said in his heart, not anymore, while I maledict again the ground on account of humanity, for the bent of the human heart is evil from its youth. Now notice that. This is even after Noah came off the ark. There was no change in humanity. And this includes Noah and his family. The bent of the human heart is evil from its youth. It leans toward sin. It's evil. It leans toward it. The bent of the human heart. And we pointed out in Romans 3:12, all avoid him. That means they outcline him. They don't lean toward him. They lean away from him. And so that's the bend of the human heart. And we're going to see in Romans 7, verse 15, that Paul says, yet I am fleshly, having been disposed of under sin. He inclines toward sin. The bent of the human heart is evil from its youth. Well, it says here, a sepulcher opened is their throat. And now Paul is almost speaking here like when you go see a doctor, the first thing a doctor does, he says, open up and say, ah, he looks down your throat. And Paul is like a master physician here, going to the heart of the matter and showing man to be a sickly creature. A sepulcher opened is his throat. In other words, he's like it's like a graveyard in there. With their tongues they defraud. See, they use their tongues to lie and cheat. The venom of asp is under their lips. The venom is to inject on others. And whose mouth with imprecation and bitterness is crammed. This is very picturesque language here. And then he goes to the feet. Sharp are their feet to shed blood. And all you have to do is read the newspapers. Everything is war. War and death, war and death, that's the news. Every day there's a death, every day there's war, every day there's bloodshed. Mankind is violent. In Genesis, that's part of the reason God instituted human government, because a man is corrupt and violent. And it begins with the throat here and goes right to the feet. I mean, man from head to toe is a violent, corrupt creature. And this is the background. This is who Christ came to die for. Imagine that. that Christ came to die for these kind of folks. That's you and I, by the way. Verse 16, bruises and wretchedness are in their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. And that's why they can't sign peace contracts. That's why there's problems in the Middle East. That's why there's wars and rumors of wars constantly, because man is no peace. They've rejected the Prince of Peace, and so there is no peace on this earth. Verse 18, there is no fear of God in front of their eyes. They have no reverence, no fear of God. They don't think they're going to give an account to Him, and so they put Him out of their thoughts. They forget about Him, and they did this in the Gentiles, the nations did this back in Genesis 10. Instead of worshiping the true God, they turned to idols and put God in the back of their minds and didn't want to test Him to have Him in recognition. And so there's no fear of God in front of their eyes. Now verse 19, here it is. Now we are aware that, there's an awareness, that whatever the law is saying, it is speaking to those under the law. Now the question is, who are those under the law? And the first answer I'm going to give you is number one, it's not the Gentiles. No nation was ever given the law, no Gentile nation. The commandments were never given to the Philistines, they weren't given to Russia, they weren't given to China, they weren't given to the United States of America. Then they weren't given to Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, they weren't given to Chile, to Zaire, to Madagascar, it wasn't given to Italy, wasn't given to Germany, wasn't given to Spain, Great Britain, Wales, Scotland, Ireland. The law was given to the nation of Israel. And it says, now we are aware that whatever the law is saying, it is speaking to those under the law, that's the Jews, that every mouth may be barred. In other words, locked shut, no excuse, and the entire world may become subject to the just verdict of God. All the world is standing before Him, subject to the just verdict of God. Man has no excuse. They're defenseless before God. Their mouth is barred. They're defenseless. Romans 1 says they're defenseless. And what does this mean that, and ponder the verse again. Now, we are aware that whatever the law is saying, it is speaking to those under the law, that every mouth may be barred and the entire world may become subject to the just verdict of God. So, how can the law speaking to Israel shut up everyone? Well, the answer is this, and I'll give an illustration. If you wanted to, say you bought a plot of land, 1,000 acres, and you wanted to plant crops on it, well, you decide instead of working the whole land at first, you want to give a little test and see how good the soil is. So you cut out a little plot and you till it and you prepare it and you plant your crop to see how good the crop would be. And so you plant, you seed it, and you water it, and you allow all the elements to take its course. And one day you find out that these crops aren't growing. The soil's no good. Well, if the soil's no good in your test land, you're not gonna plow the whole 1,000 acres after that and try it again. No, the little test part, the little portion of land that you cut out and used as a test case is going to tell you whether that land is good or not. And the same with Israel. God chose Israel, a unique nation, gave them special privileges, the law of God, the presence of Yahweh in their midst, the Urim and the Thummim. God made decisions for them regarding national matters. And yet for all that, they failed. And if Israel failed, it only tells you the rest of the world is just as bad. Why? Because at the same time, we were made useless. All of us descend from Adam. And so all of us stand, as it were, subject to the just verdict of God. And Paul goes on, because by works of law, any law, works of law of any kind, whether it's the Ten Commandments or human nature's, according to Romans 2, where the nations, though they don't have a law, by nature may be doing what the law demands. In other words, you may instinctively know right and wrong. So by works of law of any kind, any system of trying to do good or bad to please God, any system that man sets up, by works of law, no flesh at all shall be justified in his sight. For through law is the recognition of sin. So if by works of law of any kind, no flesh at all shall be justified in his sight, and God gave Israel the divine law, and if they didn't make it, the Gentiles, any law they come up with, they can't make it either. So by works of law, no flesh at all shall be justified in his sight, in God's sight, Men may think they may get by with it. Men may think there's something special. But God is the only judge. Only God can decide. Only God is the true judge of whether somebody is doing the right thing or not here. And he says, for through law is the recognition of sin. See, law makes you recognize sin. It doesn't produce the sin in you. The sin was already there. It only awakens it. Law is given to show you that you are all descendants from Adam. The law was given to the Jews to show them they came from Adam, and the Gentiles all descend from Adam. We're all under sin. Law only brings out a recognition. For instance, Romans chapter 7, Paul illustrates this. He wasn't aware of covetousness until the law said, thou shalt not covet. And then sin, using the law as an occasion, wrought in Paul every manner of coveting. See, the sin was there inside Paul, but the law only brought it, aroused a dormant operation within him, you see? And this is what is necessary for God, before God brings out the great grace in Romans in the next few verses. Now picture the scene, all the world, Jew and Gentile, standing before God, nothing to say, they're defenseless, they're sinners by nature, sinners by practice, they can do nothing to remedy their condition, they're under sin. Oh, that's a great place to be. It's a great place to be, because when you finally come to an end to yourself, you can look outside yourself and see what God has accomplished for you. And we're going to come next time to Romans 3:21 and show the grace magnified, the exceeding grace that is shown to a world who are defenseless. They have nothing to say, and God now is going to bring in the salvation. Man's inability is first shown, and now God's grace is going to be revealed. And so we hope that next time you'll be prepared and read these verses. Read Romans 1 through 4 over and over again until we get together next time. Again, this is Dan Sheridan. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me or call me at 847-312-4676. You can go to our website, paulsevangel.com, and listen to these programs for free. And also on our website, we do have a bookstore with some great material available for you. So please go there. And for those of you ordered in the past, we have a new administrator of our bookstore. Thank you, Brother Clyde and family. And they'll be getting your books to you post-haste. I think that's the right phrase. Well, Clyde, you'll let them know. If you want to help keep the programs going here, and if you're listeners to the Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show, please consider helping support us at P.O. Box 421. Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Again, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. And as I conclude here today, just want to say hello to our new friends in Indianapolis and Pittsburgh and others who have been listening in Japan. And we're glad to have you aboard. Let us know you're listening. We thank you, and we thank God for you. Have a great day.